The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Nun. Today's daf is being studied in Lu Nishmat, Morzikini Yosef Ben Sara, the Meran Zikinati, Yafar Ben Sara, Lu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Terham Ben Eden, Amen. Until this point, we're seeing that any field, whether it's the three designated fields, certainly, because eyes are on those fields, you don't want those fields to go, and certainly regular fields, you can always say, Nahat Ruach Hasit Tileba, because you don't want to get in a fight with the husband. So those fields over there, Mekho Batel, she can always go back to the guy. If there's no free fields in the husband's portfolio, she can go back to take those fields. However, the Gemara says,
three lines from the top, the Amar.
The Amar, Einaich Natata Begirushin Umita, you can say, to, what do you mean? You're already planning that I'm going to divorce you or I'm going to die? That's the key. What's the case where we say that if a lady acquiesces to the sale is a sale, and she can't say, Nachat Ruach Asiti Lebali, is Nichsem Milog, De Amar Amemor, Ish Veisha, Shemachru Ben Nichsem Milog, Lo Asu Velo Kelum.
Question.
I'm sorry, Nichsem Milog, period. You're right. Look at Rashbam. Ela vadai lemeut nechsem log. Ata rava baravuna debehanehu amar im lakach mina ish vechazar belakach mina isha mikho kayam tekevan deshelahen. Which means, who owns nechsem log? Nechsem log are hers. She owns the field. He's just eating. Perot. So therefore, if the husband, let's say, sold his perot, let's say, to somebody else, okay?
Sold the perot or the field?
Sold the field, right? He can't sell the field. He sold the perot to his perot to somebody else, and then he comes along to the lady, and the lady comes along and says, hey, by the way, you could have the field as well. In that case over there, that's not Nahat Ruach Asit Ribani. He gave up his rights. And she doesn't have to worry about anything. She doesn't have any enmity over there. There's no Iba in that case over there. He gave up his rights. So she can come along and say now, I'm selling it. If she says, I'm selling it, then Mekho Kayam. She can't come along and say, Nahat Ruach Asit Ribani. Why? Look. Deshilahi. Ena Yigura Mibala. She's not afraid of her husband. She could have screamed at her husband from the beginning, I don't want you to sell this field. You can't sell this field over there. This is my field. Which means, like you said, really, the husband went and sold the field to so-and-so. Right? Now, she's not scared in that case. That's my field. If she really wanted to open her mouth, she has every right, and she's not worried to say, hey, don't sell that field. When the husband sells it, and then the guy comes to her and says, hey, by the way, there's a couple of dollars, I'm good with it. Then we say, Mikho Kayam. That's legitimate sale. Because she can't come home and say, I was just placating my husband. She only placates the husband on his fields that he's selling. Hey, he wants to sell the field. I didn't want to, you know, argue with him. But when he's selling her fields, she's not scared at all. And if she lets it go through, the sale's going to be Kayam. Now, what has it got to do with us? So continue Rashbam. That's the key now. Our Mishnah that said a man does not have a chazakah on his wife's property. That was to my nechsim milug, like we learned. Ha ra'aya yish. But if he brings a ra'aya, if he brings edim, and if he brings proof, then he gets the nechsem milog. Why? The kevan da nechasim shela lo matzit amran nachat ruach asiti lebali. Pashut, when he goes to the wife and says, I want you to sell me your nechsem milog property, and she acquiesces, in that case over there, we say she meant it.
Why?
Because she doesn't have the sivarat to say, I was just making my husband feel happy. It's my field, by the way. I'm not making you feel happy. If I'm selling you to. You're only saying Nachatruah Hasiti de Bali on his properties. But on something that's hers, this is her property. So if the husband comes along and says, I want to buy the property, she says, okay. That, you come along and say, she meant it. She cannot come along after it now. He brings it out. She agreed.
The husband wouldn't be upset if she said no.
She's not out of line.
The husband wouldn't be upset if she said no. It's my field. It's the lady's field. You're asking me to sell something that's yours. She could say no. And the husband will say, truth of the matter is, it's her field. So therefore,
he's selling his field?
He's buying her nechse milug. So therefore, he goes to the lady, I want to buy you nechse milug. She comes along and says, yes. Okay, he has the nechse milug. Now he has a shtar. Hey, she sold it to me. Or he has edim. She sold it to me. So the Gemara says, the sale is binding. Why can't she come along and say, no, I would just make him a husband? Because in that case over there, when do you say the sefer of Nahatruah Hasiti? She's worried the husband's upset. The husband's get upset at her. So therefore, she could say, I didn't want to get my husband upset. Mashaykin, in this case over here, the husband understands from the beginning, it's not his field. It's not as if, so when he's asking her, sell me your field, she doesn't have any shame to say, no, it's my field. So therefore, if she agrees, then she agrees.
So when does she have
I'll tell you when. When he's selling an arbitrary field that she has a lean on.
On everything.
Right. On those fields over there. So now, he sold it to somebody. He could say, it's his field. It's his. That's right.
She has a right to say no.
She has a right to come along and say, especially on the three special ones. The guy wrote it in the Ketubah. For example. So now he sells it. He sells it to the guy. The guy comes to her, who bought it, and says, by the way, you know, I noticed you. No, don't worry. Enjoy it. In that case of it, you say, it's nahatru, I just want to make my husband happy. There she's embarrassed to scream and say no. Because the husband's really selling his fields. He wants to sell his fields. But she, on the other hand, wants a ketubah. So she agrees with it. She goes along with it. But later on, she could say, I was embarrassed. Mashaykin here, in this case, it's her field. When the husband comes along and says, I want to buy you a nechsim elog. She's not embarrassed to tell him, no, nechsim elog belongs to me. And if she does do it, then you assume that why she did it with full.
He can't sell fields anymore?
He can sell fields, but she will always have a lien on that field, if that's the last field. Of course, as long as he has other fields, she gets on the Bnei Horin, absolutely. But if that's the last field that got sold, she can always. She has a ketubah. The ketubah is predated. That means there's a lien on every single field. She's also a purchaser. She's also a purchaser. She has a ketubah. She could say, now that I came before you. Hey, listen, when a guy buys a field, he also knows what he's getting into. When a guy buys a field from a husband that's married, he also knows that he's running into this ketubah issue. It's like the guy who bought it has no idea. He also knows. But the hadush is, even though the purchaser says, hey, but your wife agreed. She come along and say, "Nah, so let's get some clarity before we go to the next step. That's right, hers versus his. Ha amar amemor. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Amemor said, Ish ve'isha shemachru b'nechsem milog, lo asu ve'lo kilum. You have a statement in the name of Amemor. Man and a wife that sold the nechsem milog, they did nothing. We're assuming it's exactly this case we're talking. Meaning, the man sold the nechsem milog to the guy came to the lady, and the lady came along and said, take it. In that case over there, we say what? Lo asu velo kinum. Why? Because she could come along and say, nahatrua asiti de bali. What do you mean? I thought you said on nechsem milog. You don't say nahatrua asiti de bali. So why are you telling me that the sale is a sale? Here you see clearly, if a lady, again, a man and a lady sold nechsem milog. We're understanding it now. How did they sell it? Like this case, the man sold the nechsem milog to somebody. He came to the lady. The lady said, no problem, take it. So we say, what? No sale. Because she could come along and say, I was just making my husband happy. Making your husband happy. I told nechsem milog, when she says sell, she means it. So we have a question. So the Gemara says, now you misunderstood Amemor. Ki itmar de Amemor. The case of Amemor is talking about Hecha de Zavin Ihu Umit, where he sold it. He sold Nechsem Milog, the husband, and then he died. Atya Ihi Umafka. she can go now and take it out of the one that he sold it to. Iname or Zavna Ihi, she sold the Nechse Milog, Umeta, and then she died. Ve'ata'iu umapik betakantad rabbanan, according to the Takantad Rabbanan, which is like this. You know the case wrong. Ish ve'isha shemachru is two separate cases. It's not like the case you thought. He sold it and then she agreed with it. No. If he sold it and she agreed with it, the sale's a sale. Because in the hatrua, if she agrees, she agrees. Ish ve'isha shemachru is two separate cases. What happened? So the Gemara gives the two cases. Hechad de zavin ihu. He sold nechse milog. He gave it to somebody else, okay? And then what happened? Umit. And then he died.
He sold her field.
Right. No, he sold her field. So that died. After his death, she could come along now and take the field. Take the field back. His sale is not. Which is, even though he has kinyan perot,
right,
the perot don't allow him to sell the actual field. So therefore, after his death, she can go now to the guy who bought it and say, "See you later. This is my field," or vice versa. Let's say she sold the field, right? And then she died.
Now he gets it.
Now the law is if a husband outlives his wife, he is yoresh the entire nechse milog. That Achamim made a takana like that. That what? If she died, he gets the nechse milog. So therefore, if she sold it, right? He sold it. She sold it. I have perot of it. So therefore, after she died, he can go now and take it back. Which means basically, nobody can sell it without the permission of the other one. If the man sold it or the lady. So let's look at a nashbam now. Look at ki itmar de amemor. It's not a case where they sold it together. Ela ish o isha kamar kegon hecha dezavin ihu leacher. He sold the field to somebody else. Umit teatcha I haisha umafkam ala kuchot gufa karka vaperot mikam vailach shebal en yachol lemkor ela perot. He was only able to sell the fruit that he had a right to sell. So basically, the sale was a good sale until that point, because the guy's eating pirot, no problem. Once the husband dies, so that's it. The field belongs back to me. So she can go back to the guy that bought it and say, "Give me back the field." Right? Shakarka pirot en shilo behayav vegam maguf im tamut ishto v'yirashena hu. Right? Vegam maguf, which means the goof of the pirot im tamut ishto v'yirashena hu. That belongs to Nabal. Im yamut hu. But if he dies first, he teton nechse milog shela hilka ka'ish shemachal lo asa velo kelum legabe hachi. The sale is a sale that the guy can eat perot, but legabe that if he dies first, she can now retrieve the field back. Im yamut b'hayesh tu tikam nechse milog shela iname. Next case, im machra hi gufa karka velo perot. Let's say she cannot sell perot. She sold the karka. I'm giving you the karka. But Hakamim made a takana that if she dies, the karka goes back to the husband. So therefore, in the event that she dies, he can go back to the guy and say, "See you later, I'm taking this back." So that's what we say, Amimor. If they both sell each other's rights, that's when the sale is not a sale. But in the case where they both sold, he sold the nechse milog and she agreed to it, then the sale's a sale. And she can't come home and say, "Nahatua asiti the bali." Comes the Gemara and says, I can give another answer explaining Amemor's case. Ish v'isha. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Ucht Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina. I'm sorry. Like Rabbi Yosef Hanina says, Tamar Rabbi Yosef Hanina be'usha et kinu nusha remer et hakana ha'isha shemachra b'nechse midlog. The lady sold nechse midlog. What did she sell? The goof, because the goof belongs to her. Umeta ha'ba'al motzi miyad ha'lekuchot. Very good. Aval hecha dezabinu tarvayu. But if both of them sold it, le'alma iname zavna ihi ledide, or Zavna Ihi, he sold his rights, meaning just the
wife sold it to the husband.
I'm sorry. Ina me Zavna Ihi Ledida. Ledide. She sold it directly to the husband. Vadai, it's a good sale. Zavine, zavine. For sure. Because there you don't say, There you don't say nahatu asiti the body. What comes the Gemara and says that vaday, if they both sell the field to somebody else, or she sells it to the husband, for sure the sale is the same. And that's what it meant. If they bring it a ayah, if he brings it a ayah, witnesses that, hey, she sold me the field, of course you believe the witnesses. And she can't come along and say, Nahatruwa hasiti the ba'di. Comes the Gemara and says, Iname. No, Vibaitema, Amemor Dama Krebil Azar. Oh, new point. Amemor that said, Ishvi Isha Shemachru, he's going like Krebil Azar. You need one introduction for this next deen over here. Guy buys an Evet Kana'ani. Okay, Torah says you can buy an Evet Kana'ani. You hit the Eved Kana'ani, okay? He dies. The deen is, you have to pay. Okay? His language is like this. V'chi yakei ish et avdo o et amato b'shevet. He hits him with the stick. U'met tachat yado, nakom yenakem. So he has to pay. Achim yomo yomayim ya'amod lo yokam k'kaspohu. However, if the guy survives the blow for 24 hours and dies only after 24 hours, the Adon is off the hook.
Wow.
So it's the deen of Yom or Yomayim. Which means if the guy dies from the blow of the master, it's Hayab Mita. You killed somebody. Ernest Karani is a deen. He's Jewish. He converted. But if he survives the blow for 25, it's a special deen. It's his kesef. It's a property. It's an asset. Therefore, you're not liable to Mita. That's the deen of an Eved with an Adon. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to discuss, that's the regular case. Now the Gemara is going to discuss a Hiddush. Let's say you have a guy, he owns an Eved Kana'ani. He sells it to his friend. Okay, now if it's a regular sale, so the deen of Yom or Yomayim applies to the next guy. That's clear. But let's say he sells them, but he says, I'm selling it to you, but for the next 30 days, he works for me, the Eved. Oh, so now, who owns? Who owns the Eved over here? The second guy? Or the first guy? Well, the second guy bought him, but who's he under still? He's still under the first guy because he still hold on to 30 days. So the question is, the Yom or Yomayim law, does it apply to guy number one or guy number two? And the Gemara will explain all the details. So let's start the case. Gemara says, "The Amar Krabil Azad Tanya Hamocher Et Avdo." Guy sold his Eved Kerani Upasak Emoshi Yishemshenu Shiloshim Yom. And he made a deal. Listen, I'm selling to you, but I hold him for the next 30 days. He works for me. Now let's talk clearly over here. The work of the Eved is perot. That's perot. Eved is perot. But the goof of the Eved belongs to the second guy, right? I sold you my Eved, but I'm holding on to perot, meaning the work for the next 30 days. So what's the deen? Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Harishon yishno bedin yom o yomayim. The first guy,
the seller,
the law of Yom Yomayim applies, meaning if he hits him during those 30 days and the guy dies after 24 hours, he's off the hook. Mipneshu tahtav. Hey, because bottom line, he's under me, he's working for me. Vashini eno bedin Yom Yomayim. But if the second guy hits him, even if he dies after 24 hours, he's chayav.
Why?
Because mipneshu she'eno tahtav. Because bottom line, he's not under you. What is Rabbi Meir really hold? What's his logic? The guy who owns the fruit owns the guy. Bottom line, who's got the fruit over here? The first guy. So it's your Eved. Kinyan Perot is Kinyan Aguf. So therefore, the Yom Yomayim law applies to you. Mashiach and the second guy, if he hits him, I don't care if he dies 48 hours later, Yahayamita. Because he's not your Eved. To you, he's a regular guy. He's not your Eved. The law only applies to a master, to the Eved. So therefore, Rabbi Meir holds, Kenyan Perot is the Ikar. Whoever owns the Perot owns the goof. Therefore, even though you sold it to him, where's the work going to? The work's going to the first guy. Next Shita, good?
Good.
Next Shita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Exact opposite. Hasheni yishno bedin yomo yomayim. The second guy gets the deen. Mepneshu kaspo. Because bottom line, it's his asset. Harishon eno bedin yom yomayim she'eno kaspo. What does he must hold? Kasavar kenyan perot lavke kenyan aguf tameh. The Yehuda holds the opposite. The guy that owns the perot doesn't own the goof. The guy that owns the goof, and that's the main thing. Perot is nothing. Therefore, the yom yomayim applies to the second. If the first guy hits him and he dies, even if he dies 48 hours later, he's hayabita. that Rabbi Yosef has a chidush. Rabbi Yosef omer shenehem yeshnam bedin yom yomayim. Kula. Both of them have the leniency of, it's a leniency.
That's both.
Leniency. If either one hits the guy and he dies after 24 hours, they're both patur.
First or second?
Both guys. Why? He says, Zem mipnishu tahtav, vezem tushu kaspo. Well, because this guy, he's working for him, but this guy owns him. What does he hold? Umisaf kale. Which means he doesn't know. He has a safek. Is goof to ikar or is perot to ikar? So therefore, what does he say? We have a rule: safek nefashot. Like I'm not going to kill somebody on a safek. Which means now, let's say he hit the eved. Okay, the eved died 48 hours later. Okay, so now. Who you want to say what? You want to kill guy? Which guy you want to kill? You want to kill the first guy? Which means maybe the first guy is really the perot and he's the owner. Therefore he's patur. Or maybe the second guy really who owns the eved, maybe he's the guy. So you're going to kill a guy now, misafik? You can't kill a guy, misafik. Safik nefashot, not kill. And since he has a doubt, which is the first rabbi's, no, yes, either kenyan perot, kenyan aguf, or it's not. So they were certain. First guy, second guy, first guy. This rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, I don't know who the real owner is over here. So I can't kill somebody on a safek. Mm-hmm. So therefore I give both the Yom Yomayim law to both of them. So comes the Gemara and says, third shita, this is the shita we need. Rabbi Elazar omer, shenehem, enam bedin, Yom or Yomayim. Both of them, neither of them, are not in the law of Yom Yomayim, which means both of them are hayav. Right. Which means both of them are looked at as if you killed a regular guy in the street. And if I don't care if he dies 48 hours later, hayab mita. Ze lefi she'eno tahtav. This guy, because bottom line, the second guy, he's not working for you. Ze lefi she'eno kaspo. And the first guy, you don't own him anymore. Ve amar rabba mai tama de biyaza. What's really the biyaza logic? Amar kera lo yukam ki kaspohu kaspo hamiyuhadlo. When they talk about the law of Yom Yomayim, it says, there's no deen if he dies after 24 hours, because he's your kesef. When the Torah says it like that, it's mashma, only in a case where it's owned by one guy, with his one owner here. Here you have split item. Split item, Yom Yomayim law is out the window. Once already there's sharing of situation over here, no. The law of Yom Yomayim. Only Yom Yomayim is kaspo. It's got to be kaspo miyuhad. Once you take away the miyuhad aspect of it, the Yom Yomayim doesn't apply. Now let's go back. Once you heard this concept, let's go back to Amimur. What did Amimur come along and say? Ish ve'isha. They have nechsem milog. That they sold the nechsem milog. What?
Not a valid sale.
Not a valid sale. Oh, so what's the explanation?
Because no one has
nobody has exclusivity on it. The lady doesn't have the perot, and he doesn't have the guk. So just like Rabbi Elazar l'shitato by Eved, once there's no exclusivity on it, so therefore they both don't have the din of Yom Yomayim, so too Amimor was following the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Right, he argues, he could argue, which means he's coming along and saying that, well, here's a Tanarim to back him up. Which means we hold not like that. We hold Adrapa, that if he sells his perot, he can sell his perot. The guy at least buys the perot. So if she sells the karka is sold. But Amemor says, you cannot sell the perot because you don't own the goof. And you cannot sell the goof because you don't own the perot. Look at the last Rashbam. The last Rashbam is Kikaspohu, it's right on top. מיותרו דמנתי נתאמה היאס ניק ניתם הדבר ולא לו יוקם לפיש כספו אינה מי מדבר שלי מכתב כי כסף הוא משום אך אינה מי יליף הממון לגבי נכסי מלוג איזה דקי תכיוון דאינו מיוחד לא לאיש ולא לאישה אינו קרוי שדה האיש ולא שדה האישה ואל כך אם מכרו שניהם מחרם בטל which means if they both sold it the מחר is בטל the sale is which means the guy sold his perot and she sold her karka. Which means even though they both sold it, he sold his perot and she sold karka. They could come back and say, it's like you sold something you had no rights to sell in the first place. You sold, you had no rights to sell the pirot because you don't own the goof. And you had no rights to sell the goof because you don't have the pirot. So that's what Amimon said. Yes, they sold it together. Hadush, they sold it together. But still, the sale is not a sale. But we hold not like that. We hold that what? If you sell it together, since you, the one that's selling the perot, he can sell his rights, and the one that's selling the goof can sell the goof, and this, especially if she acquiesces, so the sale is going to be a sale. But Amevos Hadush is you got to have exclusive rights to be the one that has the deen to sell it. That's right. Ulam Mishnatenu hasoveret sheisha shemachra nechsim milok lemechirata kayemet. Right, we made a duke like that. That a lady that sells a nechsim milok to the husband, the sale is a sale, must hold that what? That she can sell. What does she own? She owns goof. Right? Husband owns perot. So she has a right to sell it over to her husband. That's why the Gemara made a diyuk. If the husband has a shtar or edim, the sale is a sale. But according to the Bil Azar, she can't do that.
So the Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah. Velo le'ish hazaka b'nechse ishto. As we learned already, a man doesn't have a hazaka on the nechasim of his wife. Right. He's, let's say, eating from the nechse milog. He's eating from the fruits. So she doesn't have to protest. It's understood that the fruits are his and the karka belongs to her. Everybody knows what the deal is in a marriage. And therefore her silence for 3 years doesn't establish a hazakah for the husband. So the Gemara says, Veha amar Rav. What do you mean we learn from Rav? Eshet ish, sirichan demchot, married lady, she has to make a maha'a, she has to protest. Rashi, Rashbam, Eshet Ish, it's all the way on top. She hazik echad minichse milog shela, that somebody was mahzik, her nichse milog. Sirichan demchot, mishum dahu acher, yesh lo hazaka, v'im lo mihata, hefsida. So you see clearly that if she doesn't make a maha'a, she's going to lose the field. Now, we don't know who it's talking about, because it just says, Eshet ish, sirichal limchot. Doesn't say to her husband. So we have to see exactly, if it means to her husband, then you have a contradiction from Rav to the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah clearly said that there's no hazakah when it comes to nechsem bedlog. But here Rav says, Eshet ish, sirichal limchot. If she has to make a maha'a, that means the guy that's on the field will make a hazakah after 3 years. That's a direct contradiction against the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, hold it, Beman. Who are we talking about? Who does she have to make a maha'a to? Ilema be'acher. Maybe it means to somebody else. Maybe it's not talking about the husband. Maybe it means somebody else got her field. So for her to establish her ownership, she has to make a maha'a. No, she's married. That's what it means. She's married. It means her nechse milog. That's what it means. She's married that she has nechse milog. Ili ma ba'achir, Rashbam, she'enu ba'ala. Right. It's not her husband. Can be. Ve'amar Rav. We have a second statement of Rav. The second statement of Rav is more clearer. En mahazikim b'nechse eshet ish. What does that statement say? En mahazikim b'nechse eshet ish. There's no hazakah by ishtish, even by others. In mahazikin is plural. Not only the husband doesn't have hazakah. In mahazikin b'nechse ishtish, I'm sorry, that statement means in mahazikin b'nechse ishtish, there's no hazakah by somebody else. If somebody else takes the married lady's nechse milog, there's no hazakah. What's the logic? Why is no hazakah by somebody else? Because she relies on the husband to make the maha'a. So therefore, after 3 years, when they tell her, oh, you kept quiet. Oh, I kept quiet because I figured my husband's going to take care of it. Good. The man of the house will take care of it. He's the one that's going to make a maha'a. The lady doesn't make a maha'a against somebody, another man. Good. But we still have a contradiction against Rav. Because now you have to say, Ela Rav Beba'al. The first statement that said, Rav's statement, Eshet Ish Siricha Limchot, you can't be telling me it's going on another person because she doesn't have to make a maha on another person. Ela must be, it says, is going on the husband. And what did you tell me? Eshet ish tzricha limhot. That goes against our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah clearly said that a husband cannot make a hazakah on the nechsem milog of his wife. And he was saying, no, yes, she has to make a maha. Contradiction. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava comes along and says, Le'olam beba'al. Really, I'll tell you, the case is talking about beba'al. When does she have to make a maha'a? Beba'al. Oh, I thought you said the Mishnah. How could she make a maha'a on the ba'al? I thought she doesn't have to make a maha'a. Uchgon shehafar ba'borot shechinu me'arot. The husband has a right to eat the nechsem milog from his wife, the perot. All of a sudden, this guy, he started digging ditches in the field. Now, when he starts digging ditches in the field, that's damaging the field. If she doesn't protest, that's an indication that she must have sold it to him. Which is, so long as he's using it in a normal way, she's not going to protest, okay? Perot, we all know that. But once he starts digging stuff in there, then Rav said, eshet ish tzarich limhot. Because by not being moheh, in 3 years, I'll come along and say, well, she didn't say anything. She can't come along and say, well, we're just eating perot. What do you mean? I dug ditches and pits in the field, but you're not making a maha'a. That's an indication that it belongs to me. In a regular case, Rav agrees with the Mishnah. We're an eshet ish is just eating perot in the field. She doesn't have to make a maha'a. She says, everybody knows the field belongs to me. He gets to put it, what I got to make a maha'a for. We're married. But once you see him starting to dig in the field like that, he had no right to do that. So therefore, she better scream up and say, hey, this is my field. If she doesn't, it'll be a maha'a, it'll be a hazakah. That's Rav's specific case he's talking about. Good? So comes Gemara and says, let's look at the Rashbam, first white line, Le'olam beba'al. She'azik b'nechse ishto. Husband's on the wife's field. V'ka'amar Rav, the tzilicha limhot. She has to protest. She'yesh hazaka le'ba'al. V'afilu hachi, lo t'kshile le'matnitin. Don't ask a question from the Mishnah. V'ach hazaka de'ka'amar Rav, k'od she'afar ba'al borot she'chinu me'arot. He started digging ditches into the field. De'le'perotu de'shta'abid le'nechse me'log de'ishto. V'log le'kalkel ha'karka'a. The karka belongs to the husband, l'gabe perot, but not to destroy the field with digging hafirot borot. Ugon sedesh in asuyal de borot. If we say it's a field that doesn't take wells, if it's a field that takes wells, could be a well as a peri of a field. It's a field that normally you don't dig. Vilkach yesh lo hazaka devaday kan am meishto. Vilkach mekalkel la. Right, that's the biggest proof that his wife sold it to him, because that's why he's doing whatever he wants to it. He's making ditches. Litzorko, that's why Rav said you have to make a maha. So comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? Veha Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Abu in hazaka lenezikin. He gave a rule, Rav Nachman. When it comes to damaging, there's no hazaka. How are we understanding this? My understanding is like this. When somebody goes out to somebody else's field, like this case over here, and is damaging it, you don't got to make a maha'a. Why? And Nachman's logic is, because when somebody's using the field in a not normal way, that's evident already that it's not his field. Which means, only when you're living on the field, as a normal owner would live on the field, okay, then I make a maha'a. But if you're living on the field and you're doing damage to it, we're going to make a maha'a for a little. Look, you see he's not the owner. He's not using the field for the normal way a field is used. If the guy's living on it normally, he's okay, maybe he bought it. But stop, the guy's a damager. The guy's a mazik. He's not an owner. So you don't have to make a maha'a when a guy's damaging. So therefore, how are you explaining to me, Rav, that, oh, he went out to the field, he's damaging it with borot, shechinu me'arot, oh, then she has to make a maha. What about that? En maha l'nezikin. Rashbam. En hazaka l'nezikin. Kilomar hecha de mazik l'havero. Here's the key. When a guy's mazik his friend's field, en yachol l'ton l'kuhai biyadi. He can't come 3 years later and say, I bought it. Because you didn't live on the field like normal people. That's why they make a maha. When am I scared? I'm scared when you're living on the field regularly. But this time you're making pits and ditches. I'm not going to say anything. So you misunderstood Rav Nachman's statement. You know what Rav Nachman means? Ema en din hazaka lenezikin. Different law. There's no deen of hazakah by damaging. Remember, we learned this already earlier. That means you have a guy in his field, right? Guy in his field, and he's doing something with smoke. He's making kelim or something, and there's a lot of smoke over there, and it's affecting the neighbors, right? Initially, the neighbors didn't say anything. All of a sudden, after however much time, the neighbors come along and say, "Hey, it's damaging us, we don't want it." The first guy can't say, "Hey, you didn't say anything. For 3 years now, all of a sudden, en din hazaka benizikin." When it comes to damaging, meaning somebody is doing something on his property that's causing damage to the next guy, there's no laws. Whenever the guy already is upset, eventually he can already start screaming. There's no din of hazaka when it comes to that type of damaging. Correct. But look at the Rashbam. He's going to tell it to you. Emma en din hazaka. נצטרך גימל שלום נזקין היכה דחזקתו על ידי נזקין there נשבאם looks at it a different way there אדרבה the hazaka is not 3 years I said it reversed the hazaka is in a second that's the point the hazaka is in a second because if you let me do it even for 1 minute and all that smoke and all that if it bothered you you would have been mohe that's what the shita is holding. Normally we say 3 years. Here the smoke is going across, there's a foul odor. Now, assuming the guy's home and everything, because that says to be the case, if the guy kept quiet even for 1 second, that shows, finished, hazaka. But he says, "Ela le'altar havi hazaka." Immediately it's hazaka. "De'en adam ro'ek karkas shelo v'shotek, ela mohem miyad, v'echa de'lo maha hefsid, ve'el kach eshet ish, v'kam arav sericha limchot miyad, הוא דה צריכה למחות, מאחר שחופר בעל בורות, שאין אדם רואה זיקו, ושותק. וכי אגב, יש לו חזקה. And that's exactly what the case of Rav is. When you see your husband digging holes on the field, by the way, that's what Rav meant, אין חזקה. Rav's statement was that she has to be מוחה. He meant to say she has to be מוחה immediately. Because once already the guy's damaging the field, we don't say 3 years. Already, if she saw it and she kept quiet even for 1 second, finished. That means it is. Because you don't keep quiet. In din hazaka benizikin. The din of 3 years doesn't apply when somebody else is doing a damage. Then already the time span is much, much shorter. Then already it's immediate. So basically, we reconcile the Rav and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was talking about when the husband is eating perot, then the lady doesn't have to open her mouth. In hazakah, which means there's no such thing as a hazakah by husband by the nechse ishto. He's on the field eating perot, she doesn't have to open her mouth. Everybody knows the field belongs to her. The husband and wife situation. But the husband goes onto the field and starts damaging it. Then already, there's no deen of hazakah in the sense that what? There's no 3 year rule. There already she has to be mohe, like Rav said, immediately. Ha'ish eshet ish sinichal lemchot miyad. That's one way of reconciling Rav with the case of the Mishnah. That Gemara goes a different way.
Otherwise, he has a hazakah.
Correct. Otherwise, he can come along right away and say, after 1 day, you sold it to me. And we believe him. Rav says another way, we have another way of answering. Lav etmar ala. Right. This is the answer I told you originally. The first answer, I confused the answers when I said it, but now I'm going to say again. The first answer is like we learned. Guy went onto somebody else's field, started damaging, then there's no hazakah. There's got to be immediate maha'ah. Second pshat, and what is that statement? En hazakah lenizikin. Rav etmar ala Rav Mori amar bikutra. Rav Mori learned the case of talking about smoke. That's the case of the smoke. Rav Zvid amar bebet kiseh. And Rav Zvid learned about a person builds a bathroom. What are the two cases? Rashbam. ויבעת אמא, והאתמר עלה רב מורי אמר, כלומר, ויבעת אמא לעולם חזקת גימל שנים בעינן. Really, I'll tell you, you always need 3 years. Ve'afilu echad dechafar bo borot. Even after you dug wells and all that stuff, it's a regular 3 year hazakah, which means there's no such thing as immediate. Even when you're damaging the field, you have time to make a mahar 3 years. Also, what's the deen of ein hazakah nezikin? It says like this: Kedukmin lemetad rabba. Adi kamar Rav Nachman ein hazakah nezikin. Lo behazkat gimel shani bekarta haviru ayri. We're not talking about hazakah on a field. For 3 years, Ela be'ose hezek lehavero, where he's causing his friend a damage, afilu bebayit shel atzmo, even in his own house. How? Kegon ashan ve'reyach ra. He's doing things in his house, it's causing smoke that's going to the neighbor. Or he has a bathroom that he put in his house and it's creating a stench to the neighbor. Ve'ata le'eruya is coming to teach you, shelo yazik lehavero. Ve'afilu yazik yamim rabim. That's what I told you. Even if he's mazik many days, in hazaka mu'ilu lahazik havero. You can't come along and say, well, I did it for 2 years, you didn't say anything. Now I'm telling you now. Whereas when you're damaging, we're on your property. You can't come along and say, well, yeah, I'm on my property, I'm doing the smoke. Yeah, but the smoke is going from your property to my property, I can't breathe. Yeah, but I can't even say anything immediately. But I'm telling you now. When it's damaging, in hazaka lenezakim, the guy has a right to protest whenever he decides to protest, and the other guy cannot claim along and say that I'm good, that you know, you didn't say anything. The different way of learning the in hazaka lenezakim. Those are two ways of learning. The first pshat is in hazaka lenezakim, meaning the 3 year law doesn't apply when you're damaging your friend's field. There it has to be an immediate maha. Second pshat, in hazaka lenezakim, when you're on your own field, but you're causing a damage to the other guy, there's no din hazakah, the guy can protest whenever he wants. And you can't say, well, I was doing this for however many times, and you didn't say anything.
Exact opposite effect.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Then according to the second shot,
one is never.
That's right. According to the second shot, comes out, you need 3 years for a damage on somebody else's field. Which means when you're going to dig ditches in somebody else's field, he has 3 years to make a maha. We don't say this. It's only immediate when you're doing something on your property and the damage is going somewhere else. Then already, the guy can make a maha whenever he wants. You can't say you kept quiet and all that. Now the Gemara goes a different way. So that's what the Gemara says. Bikutra, kutra smoke. And the Rav Zvid said, Bebetaki said. Okay, now we have a different derech. Rav Yosef Amar, Le'olam be'acher. Oh, what are we going? We're going to go back on Rav's statement. Rav made a statement that said, what? Eshet ish, a lady that's married, she has to make a hazakah. So we understood Eshet ish has to make a hazakah. I'm sorry, maha'ah. Eshet ish sadiq lasot maha'ah. So that was a question from Amishnah. Because Amishnah clearly said when the husband's eating nechsem elog, she don't got to say nothing. So the first answer we said in Rav's answer was what? Now it's talking about when a guy is going crazy. Mazik the field. I mazik the field, so she better say something either immediately, like the first answer, or she better, she has 3 years, she better speak up. Because in that case over there, you're making, he's doing something not normal. Okay. Second answer is like this. No, really, when it comes to your wife, you don't have to make a maha. Give nechsem log to the husband, the wife does not make a. When he said ishit ish, sarik lemchot, he's talking about the ahir. He's talking about where somebody else's field. I thought we said that she doesn't have to make a maha because she relies on the husband. No, it's about a specific case. Uchgon, she'achla mechsat hazaka behaya baal. She had a field. The husband took her nechsem log when she was alive and sold it to somebody else. She was still alive. Okay, the guy started living on the field. She didn't say anything. If that was the only case, no problem. That can say she doesn't have to say anything because she's relying on the husband. But look what happened now. Then the husband died. V'shalosh le'achar mitat ba'al. And the guy was living on the field already 3 years after the husband died. And that case over there, I can't even say anything now. Now you can't say, well, I was relying on the husband. Well, the husband's dead now, and still you didn't protest this guy over here. Migu di amar le ana zavente minach.
Now the guy living on the field, after 3 years, can say, "I bought it from you." He can say, "I bought it from the lady."
So therefore, ki amar le name ad zavinta le.
So now he's believed also to say that what you sold it to your husband, and your husband sold it to me.
Vezabna nihale meheman.
Yeah, you have a good migu, because in that case over there, 3 years, now you can't blame on your husband, he should have been muhay. Your husband's dead, how come you didn't open your mouth? Oh, you didn't open your mouth, must be. So therefore, he could come along and say, you know why? Because really, when your husband sold it to me, he was selling me what was his, because you must have sold it to your husband. Because if he wanted to, he could have said, you sold it to me. Because 3 years I'm living on it, you didn't make a maha. So that's the way that Yosef understands Rav's statement. That's in the general. Now let's read the Rashbam.
Of Yosef Amar, it's the bottom Rashbam, it's a long Rashbam over there. Okay, see it? Matnitin lo tekshil Rav. Don't ask a question from the Mishnah to Rav. Demay de ka'amar Rav, ishet ish siricha lemchot.
That when it said ishet ish has to make a maha'a.
Lav beba'al. It's not talking about the husband. Amada, in ish hazakam nekseshto, we know that. Man doesn't have a hazakah b'shtim and k'zeshto, k'dektari matnitin. Le'olam be'acher, she'hazik b'nechaseha ka'amar rav, le'tziricha limchot.
Talking about somebody else.
U'deka shalach, but you asked the question, ha'amar rav en ma'zikin b'nechse eshet ish.
But Rav himself said that when somebody else takes the field of a lady, she doesn't have to make a mahar because she relies on the husband. So make up your mind.
No, tikshihani mili de ed ma'azikin b'chaya ba'al.
That's only when the husband's still alive, she doesn't have to make a macha'a.
She'im mi'azik b'nechseh b'chaya ba'al, gimel shenim ena hazaka, v'nesirika l'mchot, tematzit amat al ba'ali samacht.
I'm relying on my husband to take care of it.
Iname, tavka perot shayu leba'alim, menechasim sheli, otan machalecha.
Right, or she can come along and say, oh, yeah, I know my husband sold you. My husband sold you perot. Therefore, I'm taking back my field. Another reason why she doesn't have to make a maham when it comes to somebody else. When the husband sells the field to somebody else, she can come along after 3 years. The reason why I didn't open my mouth is because yeah, he sold you perot. So he has a right to sell you perot, but the karka still belongs to me. Why should I have to make a maham on that?
Right? Aval aguf, shu sheli, lo haita yakol leknot, shegamu en lo hazaka benechasi, bachilat benechasai, bachilat peri, the kevan the itle peri hakol yodim the peri u the kachil velaken lo chashashti lemchot.
We have to make a machaf. Everybody knows my husband only has perot, so when he sold it, he only sold his perot, so I don't have to open my mouth.
Aval hech aval hacha b'may askinan kegon she'achal lokeh meksat hazaka b'haya ba'al shemachal lo.
He sold it when the husband was alive. He sold the field, and he was living on the field, and the lady didn't say anything. And then what?
The gimel shanim shelemot le'achar mitat ha'ba'al.
And then the husband died, and he lived on the field for 3 full years.
Ki ha'gavna ka'amar Rav, and Rav in that case said, tziricha limchot.
Then she better scream.
Why? Ki demifarish ta'ama lekameh. V'hachi ka'amar Rav.
Now, let's get this, the statements of Rav all reconciled.
Eshet ish shemachar ba'ala le'achir.
That's all it means. If there's death, she's got to scream. When he's alive, she can always say one of two things. I was relying on my husband to make the maha, or I don't have to make a maha at all, because what can he sell you anyway? He can only sell you perot. Everybody knows it's a husband-wife situation. He sold you perot, thank you very much. The can't come along to people, we have to make a maha for. But once the husband dies, now she can't come along and say, hey, I was relying on my husband. What else? My husband's not here anymore. The guy's living on the 15 years. You didn't open your mouth. Now, what's the chidush? Now, Rav's got to be telling me a chidush. The karat sounds pashut. So he says, the salka data chamina.
Kevan da kol yodim shabal machram lo.
I could say like this. Since everybody knows the husband sold the field to this guy,
velohi, וגם הוא מודה כמו כן שהבעל מחרם לו,
and this buyer is also admitting, yeah, the husband sold it to me.
לא תועיל חזקתו אף לאחר מיטת הבעל כלום.
Maybe I'll say, there's no such thing as חזקה,
שלא יכול לטעון לאישה מנק זוונתה אחריכן.
Because he can't claim that he bought it from the wife. He's clearly saying,
I bought it from the husband. And everybody's agreeing that the husband sold it. So therefore, maybe you would think he can never come along with a migu and say, I bought it from you. Because he himself is admitting that he bought it from the husband. Which means, once he's admitting that the husband sold it to him, what could the husband sell? The husband can only sell perot, right? And that's the only thing that he has. It's like the regular case of aris, we know, the sharecropper. Shiored lekarkam ba'arisut leperot. Right? Sharecropper, what does he get? Fruit. She'enu yachol l'ton aharechen l'kahtia hemena l'kahtia hemencha, which means v'ilkach lo etztarich l'mchot. Right. You would have thought like this. Can the aris make a hazaka? No. Everybody knows one done for perot. So I would have thought over here also she doesn't have to make a maha because he himself is saying, this is okay, I bought it from the husband. Oh, you bought it from the husband. That means you only bought perot. So everybody knows perot. Once your initial attachment to the field is perot, so therefore she doesn't have to make a maha. So everybody knows it's only perot. You would have thought that maybe the deen of the lady over here is like an aris. That when an aris goes down only for perot, you cannot make a hazaka because everybody knows he only has perot. Similarly, when this guy bought the field, everybody knows the husband sold it. He's admitting that the husband sold it. So therefore, why does she have to make a maha at all?
Husband could have bought it from the wife.
Oh, so she has to make a maha after the husband dies. Kodim she'azik ba'hu ahad gimul shanim. Tevadai. You're right, it was bought from the husband originally. Right, the husband sold me the option. Because if you die first, the lady dies first, it's his field. So therefore, he sold me the goof in the event that he's going to inherit you. So therefore, he has a right to sell that option. The im yamut kodem lecha perot mia kaniti, right? And if he dies first, so then at least he sold me perot, which means he can sell both items technically. He can sell perot regardless, and he sold the field if he's going to inherit. Now umiyat kishemet, now once the husband died, hare nistalakti bimikhi. Which you know, once already the husband dies, the sale is void now. Well, the sale is... Wait. Because, you know, because he sold me. If I die, he said... Oh, sorry. If the wife dies, you'll get the karka. You know, he doesn't get the karka because he died. So therefore, he says, right now, that option was not realized. Therefore... That's his claim. Now he can say, I bought it from you because you didn't open your mouth for 3 years. That field belongs to you, right? Amazing sevara. Which means, since... he could say now, after 3 years, you sold it to me. So therefore, he's believed to say that the husband sold it to the wife, and the wife sold it. Which is, even though the hadith over here is, it's not like an aris. We're going to see why. What's the difference between the case of aris? This guy, you can say, wait a minute, he only came down for perot. No, he came down for perot, and he had the option also to get the karka. The second he dies, the husband... So now the field, let's say, is back to the lady. She didn't open her mouth for 3 years. So he could come along now and say, after 3 years, you sold it to me. That's the regular deen of Hazaka. It's your field. You didn't open your mouth for 3 years. I'm on the field. Now.
What is the option?
Oh, so go one more line. The Lodami le Aris. Read the Aris case. It's three lines at the bottom of the Rashbam. She'en yachol lit'on. Which means he can never come along in Aris and say, I bought it from you. Even if he's living on the feet for 3 years, for 10 years, the guy never said anything. Why? אין זמן לאריסיתו, אלא כל הימים בתורת אריסותו עומד. As long as he's on the field, he's a sharecropper. And what's a sharecropper? Perot. אבל זה שלקוחה מן האיש, but this guy that bought the field from the husband, על מנת שאם ימות, on the condition that if the husband dies, יפסיד מקחו, that he's going to lose the sale, שתיתו לאישה נכסה מלוג שלה, הטעם ודאי כשמת הבעל, הרי זה כאילו יורד עכשיו מחדש לשדה אישה זו. Beautiful. Which means, by an aris, it's unlimited. When a guy's on a field for 20 years, you say, that's the arisut, it's a 20-year arisut. Therefore, he can never come along and say, well, you didn't open your mouth for 3 years. You're a perpetual aris. Mashiach in here. Here I can say there was a renewal. How does a renewal? He sold it. I'll give you the karka. It's your karka if I outlive my wife. The karka belongs to you. Now, that already you put a time limit. Because in the event that I die, he says he dies, so then what happens? Then the sale is batel. Okay? Now we're starting again from scratch. Now already when he's on the field, now already it's like a new sale from the wife. Because now see, the field goes back to the wife. Now you kept quiet for 3 years. So now already I come along and say, forget about the husband, I can say I bought it from you. By an aris, it never changes. There's no change in the situation. Aris is aris forever. So the aris can never say, you sold it to me. Perot. Mashiach in this case, since, put it this way, I'll say it like this. In the case of when the guy sold it to this guy, if he didn't make that stipulation, so then we all could say, what was he able to sell? He was only able to sell perot. So therefore, she doesn't have to make a mahar. We all know it's perot. So therefore, she has to make a mahar for. Even after the husband dies, 50 years later. So what? He only sold you perot. And you're admitting that the husband sold it to you. You're admitting the husband sold it to you. So the husband only sold you perot. So see you later. But if the case is talking about where he sold it with a limit, he said, I'm selling it to you, the karka. Not perot. I'm selling you karka if she dies first. That means, if he dies first, the sale is void. That means what happens? That karka goes back to the wife. Now we start a new deal. Now we say, okay, now it belongs to the wife. Now I'm living on this field for 3 years. So now already I can come along and say, you kept quiet for 3 years. If I wanted to, I could have said, I bought it from you. So therefore I'm believed to come along and say that you sold it to the husband and the husband sold it to me. Right. Right, that's what she has to make a maha. And aris, nothing changes. Here it changed. Here I could say it went back to the lady. Because that was the deal. So once it goes back to the lady, so she got to make a maha. So then he could come along and say, it's like you sold it to me. And that's what he says in the last line, Hareze ki'ilu yored achshav mehadash l'sadeh. Once already he goes back to the lady, we look at it as if he bought it now, almost. It's like he went down to the field now. In aris, it's the same arisut forever. But here, once he dies, we look at it as if now he took possession of the field. Not from the husband. He could take possession from the lady, so to speak. Because now it goes back to the lady. Now he's on the field. Hey, how come you didn't say anything for 3 years? You can't come along and say, because you only sold your perot. By the way, it was yours now. Everything went back to you, by the way. Forget about perot now. The husband's out of the picture now. So since if he wanted to, he can say, you sold it to me. So he's also an iman to say, when the husband sold it to me, he bought it from you first. And therefore he sold me everything. And therefore, he says, he can say he sold it to him.
Yeah, talk about the case.
Talk about the case. Talk about the case.